Destination, freedom. Destination, freedom. Dramatizations of the great democratic traditions of the Negro people is brought to you by station WMAQ as a part of the pageant of history and of America's own Destination Freedom. Of all the songs that were born on this side of the sea, those having the strongest universal appeal and the most original concepts were those which grew out of the life and struggles of the Negro people in America. Of these, the nobility and stirring quality of those songs known as the spirituals have been the most imitated and the least understood. In a chapter entitled The Sorrow Songs, Destination Freedom brings you the story of the spirituals.
They that walked in darkness sang songs along the road, for they were weary at heart. They were men, women, and children stolen from Africa. They were the slim Bantus whose voices sounded like wind through reeds. They were the Bamangwato and the Basuto, whose voices were like the roll of the rivers. They were the Gale, the Somali, and the Zulu, and the Kaffirs, whose arms were longer than any people on this side of the world, and whose lives in the darkness were the shortest.
Ida, Mandong, Congo!
The darkness was slavery. The day is any day in the early 19th century on a big southern plantation where stolen working men were lined up for the inspection of the slave buyer.
This is a good lot, Mr. Marlin. Look at the men. They're strong.
And they're rebellious, too, trader. And when they come in groups like this, they know each other. They plot together.
There's hardly a pair that speaks the same tongue.
Then how is it they were singing together when you marched them here?
You know, sometimes it happens like that. I watch so there's no talking, no passing signals, and no two belong to the same nation. But sometimes it happens. There's some kind of understanding. It'll start with a word or a phrase or some snatch of song from a Bantu or a Gali. And it'll end with something that belongs to everybody. But it's nothing to worry about, Mr. Marlin. Just a carryover from some of the African customs. When you put them in the cane fields, they'll sing a different tune. It's just harmless humming, Mr. Marlin. Just something they brought over with them.
They that walked into the darkness of slavery brought songs with them. Ancient melodies from the Nile Valley, tribal chants from Senegal and Gambia, ceremonial songs from the Sudan, calls from Lake Chad, cries from the Congo, melodies from the Sahara, all fused together in the darkness, in the hot crucible of work from sunup to sundown in the rice, sugar, tobacco, cotton fields, and in the hot cabins at night. The ears of one master in Maryland could detect notes that were out of harmony with the slave system. He came to his porch and called his overseers.
Murdoch, Mason, Jenkins, come up here. Mr. Mellon?
What's going on over in the West Cabin?
Oh, just some slaves singing, Mr. Mellon. I let a few of them get together after the field work today to sing.
Well, what are they singing?
Oh, naturally, I don't pay that much attention to them, Mr.
Go over there and stop them.
Oh, but, Mr.
I said go on and stop them.
Yes, sir. I'll get them stopped.
Now, the rest of you. Remember, whenever they're singing in African dialects, an outbreak follows. To let them come together to sing something we can't understand's out of the question. Now, hereafter, stop any conversation you hear in African. Every plantation in the county's been plagued by slave insurrections. Keep your eyes peeled for runaways and sneaking abolitionists. See that all singing is done under supervision. Now, we gotta have peace on this plantation if we're to make any profits. Now, keep the peace.
The overseers and guards kept an uneasy peace, puzzled over the melodies and haphazard harmonies that sprung from slaves meeting together and working together, and saw to it that the language of the masters was substituted for all traces of African tongue. But still, the overlord slept uneasy. One evening, a free Negro minister made his way into the slave belt and to the plantation gates.
Who's there? Halt!
Reverend Robert Lucas from New York.
Who sent you here?
The Lord.
What kind of nonsense is that? You look like a runaway to me.
I'm a free man.
Where are your papers?
Here. Yep.
Yeah. Papers are no papers. You could be stripped and sold for a slave.
I know it.
Then get on while you can.
I have a message for your master.
What do you want with Mr. Maryland, Minister?
I've heard that your master is a very disturbed man.
Huh?
I've brought him something by which he can have peace.
Peace? What's your magic?
I'll tell only your master.
All right. All right, come along. We'll let the master decide what to do with you.
The guard took the traveling minister to the plantation master, who eyed him skeptically.
You say you've got something that'll bring peace to my plantation, keep the slaves satisfied? Where's this magic?
I have it here, sir. In my sack.
This? Why, this is just the Bible.
In it is the secret of peace.
Hold on. Preacher, I admire your novel way of reminding me of my religion. But I already own this peacemaker. I have a Bible, if that's what you're selling.
But do your slaves have one?
Slaves? Of course not.
Therein lies the answer to your trouble, sir.
And explain yourself.
If the slaves were given the Bible, wouldn't the message of the Prince of Peace help soothe their restlessness? In the book of Samuel, it is written, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken better than the fat of rams.
That's true. Slaves are given to disobedience.
And in Samuel, it is also written, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as the iniquity and idolatry.
Well, that's very peaceful, very peaceful. You want to give Bible lessons to my slaves?
If you permit me.
Very well. Murdoch, show them around the cabin.
The minister gathered up his satchel of Bibles and followed the guard to the slave quarters. Stood by while he called them together.
All right, gather around here. Yeah. All right, come on. It's the master's orders that everyone here listen to what this preacher has to teach. All right, quiet down, quiet down.
The hard eyes of the field hands and house slaves looked on while the minister unfolded the leaves of his book and began to read.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God.
And in the days that followed, the minister began with Genesis, went through Exodus, through Leviticus and Numbers, Deuteronomy and Joshua, Judges and Ruth. But when the lessons were finished, there was even more unrest on the plantation. And the master called in the minister.
How do you explain this, preacher? You've converted the slaves, but they're still not peaceful.
The conversion is only a part of the peace plan, sir.
When will the other part come?
When there's freedom, sir. Oh, there'll be no peace here without freedom.
Nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows but Jesus. Nobody knows the trouble I see. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, nobody.
And the minister left the master pondering. And in the thousands of evenings that rolled over the fields, the stories from Genesis to Revelations were forged into songs, like keys for a lock. Keys worked with the wondrous images of bursting stars and the sun standing still, of vanishing seas and the moon turning to blood, of Samson's strength and Solomon's wisdom, of chariot wheels and Jacob's ladders, of the lame walking and the blind seeing. Keys of a vast, wide world that outstripped the bounds of the plantation. And one woman, who was a conductor on the underground railway, used the keys to unlock the chains of her passengers.
Get on board, get on board.
On a Virginia road near the tobacco field, a slave looked up. He heard Harriet Tubman sing.
Pa? Hey, Pa, there's that woman again.
Why don't she keep going? She knows overseer don't like us talking to strangers. Tell her to go on.
What's that she's singing?
I don't know.
Say, what's that you singing?
It's a railroad song.
It's funny. I know nearly all the songs around here. I never heard one about any railroad.
This is the Underground Railroad.
The Underground Railroad?
Don't talk too loud.
Uh-huh.
She's running this evening. Are you ready?
How many's gone?
There is room for plenty more, don't worry.
Paul? You going?
She's ready to go. Don't hesitate.
Careful. Overseer's coming.
Oh, I see him. Gotta move along now. Go on over to the others in the field and sing this song by them. Those who want to go will know what you mean.
Get on board, little children. Get on board, little children.
Get on board, little children. There's room for many or more.
Oh, get on
board, little children.
Get on
board, little children.
Get on board,
board, little children. There's room for many or more.
The woman led her chorus down the road to board the invisible train. Until finally a plantation master called his overseers around him.
Murdoch, Jenkins,
yes,
Mason.
Yes, sir.
Here's some news from Richmond.
Huh?
A slave insurrection broke out on the McGill plantation. 72 slaves escaped and half of the McGill guards killed.
I thought that
would wake you up.
We've doubled the guards, Mr. Maryland. We haven't had one escape in a month.
You've been diligent, that's true.
Oh, we're going to continue.
But as long as crazy women like Harriet Tubman are alive, expect trouble.
Oh, we're watching for her, Mr. Maryland.
Well, watch out for plots among the slaves, too.
Oh, yes,
if you catch any secret signals or writings, bring them to me.
Oh, yes, sure.
They've got some code signals. We know that. It's up to you to find them. Supervise everything they do together.
Singing, too?
As long as they're singing in English now, I see no harm in it. Just simple songs about heaven and that sort of thing. In fact, the slaves in the West cabins have some rather nice songs. Yeah, have them come up to the porch after supper. It'll be nice entertainment for my guests.
Sure, Mr. Maryland. I'll have the boys round them up for you.
Sure.
The guards went about rounding up the slave singers. The news spread ahead of the guards like wildfire, and in one of the cabins, the old field hand heard of the roundup. Warned his son.
The old master's got his eyes on us.
Hmm?
He suspects something.
Oh, no, he doesn't, Pa. It's just that he's got some folks visiting. I saw him.
It's bad luck he picked this night.
Well, we can still make it to the underground. Harriet Tubman said...
Keep that name off your tongue, you fool.
Mitchell?
Huh?
We watered up at the big house this evening. Bring the others who sing with you. It's for the master. Be there this evening.
Yes, sir. I'll be there. Yeah. Someone's got to sing for the master this evening. Someone's got to tell Harriet what's happened.
I'll tell her.
But be careful about it. See that no one follows you there.
And the boy found the conductor of the underground waiting on the outskirts of the plantation and told her of the change in plans.
There'll be no change in plans.
But Paul said
if the master likes our song so well, we'll oblige him. I'll even compose one specially for him.
But Paul said
Listen to me. Your Paul can't catch the underground train this time, but he'll help all the others catch it. When he goes up the hill to the master's poach, he'll be standing where he can see most all over the plantation. You go back and tell all those who aren't chained that old Harriet's here. And when you give him the signal, he'll slip off, one by one, to the river.
What's the signal?
Sing these words. Steal away.
Steal away.
Steal away.
Steal away.
Steal away to Jesus.
Steal away to Jesus.
Steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here.
Steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here.
You tell your Paul to have the singer sing it when the way looks clear. The others will know it's time to steal away to Jesus.
On the porch of Master Maryland, the spiritual steal away to Jesus was born. And the master and his guests listened and enjoyed it and marveled at the harmony.
Steal away. Steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. My Lord, he calls me by the thunder, the trumpet sound within of my soul.
While the song was delivered and applauded, while the singers went on entertaining Master Maryland, 15 slaves stole away with Harriet Tubman. They were near the Mississippi before the hounds of the plantation found the tracks, but at the banks of the wide river, the fugitives stopped.
What are you stopping for? Go on, cross over. Go on.
They won't cross. They think they'll drown.
Now listen to me.
Deep.
The river may be deep enough to cover your shoulders, but no more. Go on across it.
No.
If you stay here, we'll all be caught.
No.
Go on. You hear the dogs?
She took out a pistol and put it to the head of the man who trembled most.
Go forward.
But Harry...
Or die. Go ahead.
He went forward, waded into the high water. When she saw the others still holding back, Tubman waded in herself. She sang to let the fugitives know she could still breathe.
Wade in the water. Wade in the water, children, wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. Oh, wade in the water.
Wade in the water, children.
She waded deeper, and slowly the fugitives fell in behind her. And another spiritual was born. Rising all over the South, from fields and plantations, from slave camps and slave cabins, came the sorrow songs with their melodies that haunted the memory like ghosts. Songs that were the sifting of centuries with music more ancient than words. And some of them came out of Alabama fields, some out of Georgia camps, Florida swamps and Kentucky hills, Mississippi levees and Carolina tobacco fields. They spoke of death and suffering and longing toward a truer world of misty wanderings in hidden ways, and of the heaven that some of the songsters saw was possible on Earth.
Yesterday, when I was plowing the field, I heard a voice calling me.
Oh, yes, and there was Nat Turner, who could recite the story of the Israelites' delivery from the pharaohs word for word, and who saw no difference in the plight of his people and the plight of the Israelites.
And this voice I heard called down to me, said I should prepare to lead every man in bondage to freedom. This was the voice of God. I must take up Christ's struggle for the liberation of the oppressed. For the time is fast approaching when the first should be last and the last should be first.
Plowman Turner left his plow in the field, picked up his Bible, and pointed toward the county seat of Southampton, the city named Jerusalem.
Between here and Jerusalem are 1,000 slave owners blocking the way. We'll either step over them or on them. Tell every man, woman, and child on the plantation that we're going to walk in Jerusalem just like John in the Bible. Be ready.
I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to be ready
to walk in Jerusalem just like John.
John said the city was just four square.
Walk in Jerusalem just like John.
And he declared he'd meet me there.
Walk in Jerusalem just like John.
Nat Turner took 3 terrible strides toward Jerusalem in a rebellion that shook the slave system to its roots before the masters stopped him.
I want to be ready. I want to be ready.
I want to be ready.
But the songs didn't stop. They went rolling on around the plantations. For as fast as their composers would die, others would be born. Some sang songs with hidden meanings. Others, like Denmark Vesey, sang open and bold for all to understand.
Oh, down Moses, way down in Egypt land, Pharaoh, let my people go. Israel was in Egypt land.
Let my people go.
Oppressed so hard they could not stand.
Let my people go.
Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt land. Tell old Pharaoh,
let my people go.
And after the rebellion of Vesey, the state of Virginia forbade the singing of Go Down Moses. And it was kept alive only on the Underground Railway and in the hearts of the slaves. The words went underground, but the spirit remained open. The songs kept growing, drawing on the tales of the Old Testament for strength and comparing the walls of slavery with the walls of Jericho.
Joshua fit the battle of Jericho.
Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho and the walls come tumbling down.
Jericho, Jericho,
Jericho, Jericho, Jericho, Jericho, Jericho, Jericho, Jericho, Jericho, Jericho, Jericho, Jericho, Jericho, Jericho, Jericho, Jericho, Jericho, Jericho, Jericho.
And there were the songs of death. Death, which was no stranger. Death, which was regarded as a friend. The song sobbed from a dying woman's throat. after her child had been sold.
Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home.
Yes, they were the songs of sorrow that grew and multiplied, handed down from mouth to mouth, heart to heart, felt but not written, changed from singer to singer and gradually disappearing when the Civil War was won, remembered only by the freedmen until the son of a New York blacksmith went down to Nashville, Tennessee, learned the songs from the children of freedmen, and when a new university needed money to build a hall, he made a proposal.
Boy, I've heard children singing songs the like of which I never expected to hear in this world. If there are enough ex-slaves or descendants of slaves here in this university who know these songs, I propose that we establish a quartet and travel all over the world singing these songs. That way we can not only raise money to build Fisk University, but we can save for the world some of the most beautiful songs ever sung by man.
Get on board.
Board, little children, get on board, little children, get on board, little children, there's room for many a more. Nobody knows the trouble I see, nobody knows but Jesus, nobody knows the trouble I see.
The trip around the world brought $150,000 into Fisk University and fame to the first singers of spirituals, the Jubilee Singers. They preserved the sorrow songs for another generation. Songs that, despite their sorrow, had an inner joy and the breath of hope, had triumph and calm confidence. In their fire and tales of blood and sacrifice expressed the people's belief in justice, mercy, and truth. They were songs forged in the crucible of slavery and the struggle for freedom, and given freely to the world for the furtherance and expansion of freedom.
Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom. Oh.
You have just heard Destination Freedom's dramatization of The Birth of the Spirituals. Destination Freedom is written by Richard Durham and directed by Larry Auerbach. The narrator was Ken Nordine. The choral work was done by a special group from the Progressive Baptist Church Senior Choir, led by Mrs. Thelma Wade Brown. Soloists were Mrs. Brown, Benjamin Rogers, and Retha Brown. Those in the cast were Janice Kingslow, Fred Pinkard, Oscar Brown Jr., and Wiley Hancock. The music was played by Elwin Owen and Jose Bethencourt. Our technician was Gary DeVlieg. Sound effects by Cliff Mueller. This is Charles Mountain inviting you to join us again next week when Destination Freedom will bring you the story of the noted educator, John Hope. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.